Hi, I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center, and on the political right is my colleague and good friend, Representative Dan McKay.
Good morning, everyone.
And Dan, I don't know why I call you colleague, because I'm not in the legislature, but we're collegial.
We're buddies.
Okay. And on the...
Can we be buddies for now?
We can. And on the political left, Senator Jim DeBacchus, also a friend and colleague.
Also a friend and colleague to everybody. Hi, good morning, everybody. We're going to have a great show today. I can feel it.
It's a great show, but we had a tough week. The stock market plunged this week on Monday. Single largest single day point loss in history. You guys should ask me questions on this since I'm... do economic work, but wow, this was big deal.
Natalie, would you care to comment?
I think it's something that we're going to see more of. I'll just say it that way. I think that we have, a lot of uncertainty in the economy right now. We're mature in the recession. It's been a long time. Yeah. I think the financial markets often overreact when things don't stick to the script. And sometimes that repricing can be ugly. And so I think we should get familiar with this. My opinion. Love to hear what you guys think.
It's just economics 101. As interest rates go up, and certainly they're going up, the stock market goes down, and that it's just playing out as history. It's been a hot market so long that it's a correction, and corrections happen, and it's just part of the way that the economic system works.
I love it. Hey, Jim's talking. Look, he's
talking markets.
If he draws a supply and demand curve, Natalie, yeah. We're going to have a perfect show.
We got to talk about Trump economy or not. Is this his economy yet after a year in office? But before we do that, because Dan, we'll ask for your commentary on that. I'm really interested in thinking of the baby boomers and wealth effects.
Yeah.
So the idea is that we've never had this older generation like we have now, and they had no place to put their money but in stocks because you wouldn't save it because, interest rates are low, whatever.
Right.
And if the baby boomers get spooked and pull back on spending to save their nest egg, that could be a little traumatic for the economy.
Oh, interesting.
So
yeah.
That's something I'm watching.
Yeah, that's interesting. The psychological impacts on the market, I used to think watching Bitcoin was dramatic and interesting, right?
Yeah.
And so this week, watching the market has been dramatic and interesting.
Yeah.
And that's usually, in my opinion, not what you're looking for if you're the U.S. president.
Dan, you are in real estate, and I do want you to comment on the politics. But before we do that, if you're in real estate development, when do you think the next recession is?
At least 2 years away.
Okay, that's
but I say that every day.
Yeah,
and
it's just it's a moving target. See, when I'm asked, I would say, well, it's not in 2018.
Yeah, okay. See, that's fair.
Right? Well, and I usually say that because I just think that 2018 feels kind of in the books with very low unemployment, still rapid job growth.
Interest rates still historically low.
Yeah, and there's not overheating yet. There's not an imbalance yet. But there's some... I tell people, stop, look, and listen.
Oh.
I want to go a little more local on this.
Let's do.
I see very bad signs coming out of our biggest employer, IHC. I think they've made the decision that they want to cut wages. They're offshoring hundreds of IT people. They're already gone. And they've created a new employment company. I get it. I mean, it's what we've gone through for the last generation, where we kind of pare it down and take care of it. But I'm not sure who speaks for the great loser over the last generation, the working people of Utah and of the United States. I'm not claiming I have a solution to it, because we need to keep healthcare costs down. But if we take thousands, tens of thousands of good-paying Utah jobs, the kind of jobs people need in order to qualify to buy a house, and we get those people down $10,000 a year, which is what this new employment company is doing. They're going to save $70 million on 2,300 jobs, which is $10,000 per job per year. I'm saying bad on UIHC, but they are the leader out there. Is this portend for the rest of Utah companies? And what are we going to do about this middle class and the loss of them? We can't just say, oh, it doesn't really matter. The markets will make up for them. It hasn't since the mid-70s. What's going to happen to America as we stratify?
Yeah, interesting. Jim, I see this differently, and that's okay. We can kind of do that. But I remember during the worst days of the Great Recession, standing up in front of a group of business leaders and showing them job growth by industry, and the only industry in the state that was growing was healthcare. And every business leader just looked up and just said, that is awful, because they know that they're the ones paying for that because of employer-sponsored health insurance.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they're all taking it in the shorts, and healthcare continues to grow. So I don't mind healthcare becoming more efficient. Dan, love to hear your comments. And then can you tell us about how does the Trump White House react to this stock market bust? Not that it's a bust yet, but it was hard news, obviously.
Right. But I think so far, I think the Trump White House has been largely introspective on the issue.
Cycles happen and corrections happen.
Right. Which I think is probably wise, which is probably a good measure for the president and where he's kind of growing into the office. I honestly don't think anybody looks at the economy and looks at the key indicators and says, hey, we're headed this way or we're headed that way. I'll say this. I was talking to a well-respected national economist just yesterday, and we were on a conference call about some other issues. And his response was, he said, his closing comment was, I think I'm going to write a book. And everybody says, oh, that'll be interesting because we'd like to. So I'm going to write a book, and it's called I Have No Freaking Idea. And I thought from an economist perspective, you might economist. Laugh about that,
yeah.
Natalie.
Oh, yeah, that's economists and, you know, how it goes. Hey, before we go into our second segment, let's talk about the passing of John Huntsman Sr. He died at age 80. He's an incredible Utah success story. What he accomplished in business, his philanthropy. What's his legacy, guys? What are you seeing?
Well, a lot of people make money. Not very many as much as John Huntsman. So the measure is somewhat the wealth, and that's why we're talking about him. But it was his commitment to charity. And not just a little bit. He didn't dip his toe in. You know, some people can contribute $10, $20, $30 million, and it doesn't have a big effect. His was almost total. I mean, it is the vast majority of his fortune is safely ensconced with
charity. Could call him one of the
charity.
Most generous people on the planet.
Yeah,
is it that kind of scale?
I believe it is, and I think that's the message of John Huntsman.
Dan, how about you on the legacy? And as I do that, to me, the legacy that I'm thinking, this is obvious in, you know, cancer research, but I'm thinking his children are an incredible legacy because he's got a lot of them, and they're great, and they're going to do incredible things. Obviously, John Jr. already is, Peter Huntsman, all the rest, but I think that's a pretty big legacy, that what he's left behind in his children.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I don't know. I don't know how you sum up somebody who's done so much for the state of Utah. And I was kind of at a loss for words this whole week. I mean, about John Huntsman Sr. You don't have a lot of people that come along. He's, you know, it's kind of a once in every couple generations that are like that, right?
Yeah.
So now who's carrying the torch for those types of issues? I know Gail Miller's picking up that torch, but she's also getting advanced in years, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, who's next? And we're so lucky that Massachusetts is here to save us.
You know,
I caught Jim off guard. Look at that.
I was in November. I went to a dinner, and John Huntsman Sr. and I were at the same table. And what I think is a great thing about him, he was totally outspoken about calling things to power along his career, whether it was LDS church leaders or whether it was community leaders or governors or saving the Tribune or doing things. I admire his chutzpah. He just told it the way he saw it. And I love that about people.
Yeah, great man. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I'm joined by Dan McKay and Jim DeBacchus. In our next segment, we're going to dig deep on what's going on in Capitol Hill. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For more of our in-house podcasts, visit kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider a donation to keep local programming alive on KCPW.
Dan McKay on the right.
Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. We're in our third week of the legislative session, and we are here on Capitol Hill. It always adds some drama to the discussion. Sometimes we can't find Jim because he's out there attending the buffets.
Sauntering, having a wonderful lunch.
But let's talk about some bills, and I want to start with let's start with these, let's call them tax gifts, tax breaks. HB 169. This is the one that provides a $1.7 million tax break to Energy Solutions. It's passed the House. Representative Notwell makes the case that Energy Solutions operates at a competitive disadvantage.
Okay, so remember, while a tax break, because it's a fee and the fee is a tax break, the listeners should know, because I know they want to hear from me because I voted for the bill already. So the listeners should know. One, Energy Solutions is a national company that has sites all over the country, and they, you know, they're choosing all the time where they send things. This company, over the last 15 years of its existence, has contributed more than $350 million to the state's education fund. And one of the requirements that they have been paying since inception of Energy Solutions was having on-site state people out there that were regulators and watching stuff come on. Basically, they're sitting in a shed and watching the trucks drive by.
Mm-hmm. Making sure they don't bring any Class B and C waste
that we
don't want.
Class B and C waste. So, fact of the matter is, this is not nuclear material. It's the nuclear stepchild's material. So it's really low-level waste. And the fact of the matter is, if government wants to regulate something so that you have to have a regulator on site, why should the regulatee continue to pay for that cost when they're already contributing
$300 million? So is the $1.7 to pay for the regulatory costs?
Yes, it's the state regulatory costs.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's a fee.
If you think of it as a subsidy or as a tax break, I don't like it. If you think of it as the state paying for regulation, I understand
right.
that a little bit better.
So you can totally understand why the TRIB would pitch it as a tax credit for the wealthy company.
Yeah.
But when you sit there and think about it, it's
different.
Two
points from the political middle, and I can guess what Jim's going to do. But I think, you know, one person's tax break is another person's tax burden.
Yeah.
So, you know, in general, I don't like tax breaks.
Yeah.
It's just... You know,
I don't like taxes.
Picking favorites. Yeah.
So let's start
the
back
second
there.
Thing is,
because one man's taxes
why would
is another
you,
man's money.
Why would you do anything to incentivize the importing of waste to our state? So I don't mind storing our own waste. What I don't like is having businesses that bring in other people's waste.
Well, let's erase all the borders from the map for just a minute, right? There are geographic incentives to do lots of things throughout the country. If you get west of Tooele,
there's a lot of incentive to have
storage
places for other people's waste.
There's a lot of incentive to have storage places for other, because we have no economic use for
and
it.
I'm a native Utahn that loves the salt flats and loves the West Desert
loves
Rush Valley.
This is not fouling any one of those items. This is even, you haven't even named the disastrous area where this place is. You have to keep going.
Dan, I have toured Energy Solutions.
Oh, okay,
and,
good.
Yeah, and I've seen
offended?
The waste that comes, and what I've seen, what's most visible is when they bring in all this dirt from, you know, nuclear power plant cleanups,
yeah.
and bring in that dirt, and I'm just sort of like, if it's so safe, keep it where it came from.
Look.
I'm like, Jim, get me out of this.
This just
Jim
goes,
was shifting into
goes
high gear.
This goes down. This is a very special regulation. They can't plug in a bunch of other regulators, and it comes out.
It's the only company that does it.
It's the only company that does it. And the reason why those regulators are there is because this company cheated dramatically and lied. And as a part of that agreement, they agreed to pay for this. It was a long time ago. It had nothing to do with the current management. But that's why they're there. And that's why this fee is there. So they've been paying this fee. This is a $400-$600 million a year company, and they're paying $1.7 million for this. I'll tell you, Dave Lockwood is one of the smartest guys I know. He came when it was a public company, he took it over, he looked at the numbers, he took it private. I'm telling you, they're doing real well. So the question is, for the private shareholders of Energy Solutions, is it better they get $1.7 million more, or that it stay with Utah school children? And I cannot believe the House almost unanimously.
It's not an income tax break. See, that's just it. It's a fee that comes into the general fund. Okay. It is not education. It is the opposite of education.
It's fungible.
In fact, it's sure, while
I
there is fungibility.
Jim uses education because it You know,
it's a lever. Yeah. Everybody
Dan,
in the audience
Dan
is like,
objects to it, but then there is a pipe between the two funds, and so both points are sort of for.
And Natalie loves that pipe because higher ed abuses it more than anybody else. But that being said,
one other thing,
I'm not going to give Jim a total pass on this. It's a total mess.
No. Yeah,
we do have other bills.
I get
to
Dan's
talk
point,
about.
But no, I just want to throw one other thing. This gets to the heart of campaign contributions.
Yeah, that's fair.
They are the largest contributor last year, like $66,000, including $6,000 to the sponsor. You know, give me a break. I just don't believe that if somebody's given you that much money or a little bit, I'm not saying they're bought off or anything, but I'm saying, of course, that has an effect.
Yeah. Here's another interesting one to think about. HB 330, this is Representative Lowry Snow of St. George. It basically is a bill that makes it illegal to record a conversation without getting approval from all parties. And what's made this particularly interesting is the LDS Church has thrown its support behind this bill. Begs the question, why is the LDS Church interested in this?
Yeah, this energy solutions conversation is completely ridiculous, Jim. I waited for Natalie to move on to another bill, and then I'm like, that's completely ridiculous. If you see a regulated entity and you free it from its regulation, either you got to be willing to reduce its regulation because the regulation is having no impact, and it's a $1.7 million cost for nothing, or you do away with the requirement that
this
they pay for
it. Ripe for a compromise.
Yeah, well, and that's what I think it's going. But you have to understand, remember, this fee has to be funded. So just passing the bill is one element, and the Trib, of course, doesn't want to report this story. The credit isn't there yet. It could pass both houses, get out of House and Senate, and still not be funded. Yeah. Okay, to Lowry Snow's bill. I hate this bill.
Okay.
I hate it.
Hate
I don't care who...
Forcing someone to get permission to record.
Yeah, I don't. This is generally people trying to protect themselves. That's a reason why they record stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So them being guilty of being in a crime for recording a conversation, when if they were in a public place having this conversation, it could happen, mm-hmm. or it could happen naturally. Yeah. It could appear on security
technology
tape or whatever.
Technology makes this really interesting because there's so many ways to record in a very convenient and high quality way that can add more transparency in our world.
Yeah, but all it does, Natalie, I mean, I agree, but creating a crime out of transparency tells me people have stuff to hide.
Yeah.
And I would argue that in and of itself.
So why do you think the LDS Church is behind this, Dan?
I don't know.
Okay, so I think I do know. And I've not talked to a soul.
I don't want to infer anything good, bad,
or
anything.
I think there's a lot of sacred things that happen in the LDS Church that people abuse. And I think of LDS temple ceremonies that you can go find out about.
I was going to say, that's already on the internet.
Oh, yeah. So you don't need this. But they have people that show up in these sacred ceremonies and have a camera in their tie and photograph it and put it, you know, and it might be someone's marriage ceremony and they're putting it on the internet. And I think it's totally... I'm really uncomfortable with that.
I get that.
And to me, this isn't about transparency. It's about protecting the sacred. But I don't know if that's why. Jim, what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm always suspicious of people who want to cover things up. You know, the farming industry wants to put people in jail if they're taking pictures of abuses in slaughtering houses. I mean, everybody wants to cover up whatever they're doing. And I say... this is a different generation. They're used to seeing things. They're used to a president who's out there, and this goes in the wrong direction. You know, it's going to be out there. What about the woman who's been assaulted and she meets with her assailant, and that's the evidence that this happened? Or there's a lot of cases where somebody who does a bad business deal, mm-hmm. and you get them talking about the business deal. I say. Let the world go and deal with it.
Interesting to see what happens.
I'm with Jim.
Well, and I hope there's some good reporting.
Me and Jim are on the same side.
I hope there's some good reporting that really puts some light on the topic of why the LDS Church
need
is
more
interested
crimes.
In this. But I got to think the LDS Church is trying to protect sacred things.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, how about the bill?
But shouldn't when people come into your property, shouldn't you be able to say, hey, I'm not recording? I'm not recording. You know what I mean? I'm not recording this information. Or you should be able to prohibit people on your private property from recording. I get that.
Yeah.
So go to a neutral, you know, like Krispy Kreme.
Producers
donut place.
Reminded me about LDS bishop interviews and, you know, taping these conversations with your ecclesiastical. And, yeah. And this is a whole other topic.
What if
I'd love
creepy?
To spend. Yeah, well, I'd love to spend a whole half hour on it because my basic belief is that I don't like 1v1 conversations like that.
Oh, interesting.
Behind closed doors, particularly male female.
Yeah, and I'm kind of understanding
that
more.
I would completely
more.
Change the culture such that a female can bring in their mother or a good friend or their dad or whatever.
So imagine now. To take
we're going
that
to
out.
A really interesting topic.
Yeah,
here.
Wow.
The young girl is there, and it happens. It doesn't happen very often. I'd never even actually heard of it happening, but you get a creepy bishop, and he's asking the wrong questions. Now, who would the law be going after, the 13- or 14-year-old girl or the creepy bishop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tough stuff. Okay, guys, another one. This is gets into the relationship between our state and the federal government, but we have Mike Noel in CNAB, HB 136. It's a bill that would prohibit local officials from speaking out in favor of federal protections on public lands. So this is kind of crazy. Like, why would the legislature, like, put a, you know, a big tape over the mouth of a local official that has something to say about their land that's adjacent to their city?
How do we come up with these ideas? Sorry.
You know, the Mountain Accord.
How
you know,
do we
can
do this?
Can Ben McAdams say things about the Forest Service in the canyons that he has some jurisdiction over?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to demean, you know. It seems like there's a record number of bad ideas this year.
Okay, so this one you don't support. I can guess where Jim feels, but...
It's not that... I don't want them to say negative things or be supportive of the terrible federal land policy, but that doesn't mean I can pass a law that says you can't say what I don't want you to say. That's the liberals that do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Now imagine now, I'm just wondering. Oh, but there is an out. This would require city councils and county councils and the rest. They can speak out. They just have to first seek the feedback from the state's Natural Resource, Agriculture, and Environmental Interim Committee. This will be the great filter so that if you're Salt Lake City and you want to talk about bears' ears, you go talk to this committee, and I suppose they will dissuade you from going
I think
going where
Representative
you
Noel is having some fun. That's just my feeling.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, wow. Hey, okay. How about,
oh, wow.
Speaking of Mike Noel, I guess he really gave an impassioned speech about Philo Farnsworth and this whole issue of swapping out the statue of Philo Farnsworth for Martha Hughes Cannon. Dan, where does this one stand?
Well, the bill got out of rules and that kind of thing. I'm going to say this in Mike's defense because he's a really good guy.
He is.
Here's what I am going to say in his defense. I don't like when political decisions are, or when policy decisions are made for political reasons, even honorary ones. And so I get worried that we're going to rush into, you know, we've got this, and now everybody's saying that people that don't want Philo or they don't want to trade out the statue are anti-women. And it is so, so difficult for me. Now, here's what I wish was in the bill. I wish it was in the bill that we would have a requirement for every 15 years for us to review and replace a new statue.
Mm-hmm.
And let's honor more Utahns and get more Utahns up there. I wouldn't mind a gym to back a statue.
I vote against it.
It got one vote. It got one vote.
I just,
and that's
as
all it
someone
is.
Who staffed elected officials for like 18 years or whatever, I would just be giving my principal, as you call it, in Washington, good advice. Support Martha Hughes Gannon. Jim, anything more on that?
Yeah, I gave a quick speech in praise of Philo, and then I voted for Martha. So there you go.
Yeah, no, but I think that's a good thing you can do because they're not one against the other, and that is the problem with where this debate is going. Is it's becoming one against the other, which is that's not what this is. Philo's had a great run.
He has. Hey, the Olympic Explorer.
But so has Brigham, and that's why I said Brigham.
A long run.
Hashtag
too.
Bring Brigham home.
The Olympic Exploratory Committee was up on Capitol Hill this week releasing their report about the 2030 Olympics. Should Utah pursue it? Did you guys see any of this traffic going on?
I love that we had a committee to have this conversation. It's just is typical us, right? But and of course they voted unanimously to approve the report and accept
Dan,
the recommendation.
So Dan, I'm going to challenge you on that because I helped on this committee and it was an incredibly technical endeavor where they went in detail on the budget and detailed on the economics and detail on the venues, and we are we just blew it out of the water. What I mean is no other competitor can do what we can do. Yeah. By virtue of both the city we are, the metropolitan area we are, the
and
resources we have.
We already have.
Yeah, and that we've already done it. Yeah. So we have all the intelligence. Nobody can compare. Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be great. But is it the same old faces that were 2002, except a lot older now? Do they have any new, fresh, young? Is the next generation?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example.
On the committee? I'll give Mitt here in Utah. So they can help run this instead of getting baffled.
Jim,
with all
on
the
your point, Frazier Bullock is the leader, and you know, so he's the same old face. But wow, what a leader! But I did see new people, and one of the new people I saw was Jeremy Andrus, who's the guy with Traeger Grills and was with Skull Candy,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's helping with some of the marketing thinking. And we are down to 1 minute on the show, so we better go to gripes.
Okay, my gripe is real fast.
Let's hear it.
My gripe is we're all about yoga pants, and everybody's into yoga pants. I want a yoga suit. These things look so comfortable and relaxing, and I am tired of this
restricted
outfit.
And I can say
outfit.
That there's a lot of women that aren't looking forward to yoga suits.
That is totally sexist, but I totally agree.
Jim, you're great.
It's time that the legislature got a truly independent way to look at complaints for harassment. It's not, and it ought to be.
It's time. My gripe is, again, going to deal with the ski season and the lack of snow. I was in Park City yesterday. They're saying it's the worst snow year in 100 years. We had red UDOT trucks being used to clear seedlings off the freeway. They're not plowing snow. It's bad. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle, program produced by Emily Means. Thanks for listening.